What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger Ups number 508 here on Wednesday, March 27th. Let's start off with obviously the big news of the week up in Baltimore, where a cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to collapse.
Yeah.
It was quite the scene yesterday morning, and obviously the bridge is still in the water.
Yep.
On top of the ship, our great leaders in Washington, including Pete Buttigieg,
who, say edge.
Thank God, took a break from chest feeding to come to the podium to tell us that he doesn't have any answers for us.
And, yeah, he did.
Thank God that he is in charge of transportation, because the guy who couldn't fill a pothole in South Bend, Indiana, is going to be in charge of this huge project to rebuild one of the most important bridges and ports in the United States.
He couldn't even give a basically, the Baltimore port is closed indefinitely. That's basically what I got from that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is probably something you shouldn't say, but...
Well, they have to figure out what they're going to do, because there's a couple problems here. One, there's a huge line of ships now forming outside the port of Baltimore that were supposed to come in, and they just don't know where to go.
Yep.
So if it is going to be closed indefinitely, they have to reroute all these ships. There's quite a few problems with supply chains and shipping routes, and you know, potentially having to reroute stuff to either Philadelphia or further south, and then moving it by truck.
Isn't there also hazardous materials on that boat too?
There's a couple containers, but none of them went into the water.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really a concern about that at this point. But they need to get, you know, the Corps of Engineers in there, the Army Corps of Engineers in there, to get that bridge lifted out of there, clear the waterway, move the boat, and get the port back open at least.
Yeah.
The bridge is going to take years.
Yeah.
Like, that's several years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a total mess. Then people were up in arms about Biden saying yesterday that, you know, the federal government will pay for all this and spare no expense and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? The points they make about, maybe this company or their insurance company should be held liable. Sure. And you could litigate that. That's going to end up well in court.
Yeah.
But we don't have time to just sit on our thumb here. Like, if there's one, one thing besides national defense and security that the government is for.
It's infrastructure.
It's, only that, but this is an interstate. This is a federal interstate,
like, you
this bridge.
It. Like, I mean, it should be. This really shouldn't be a controversy. I mean.
Right. I totally agree.
Yeah, it has to be.
If there's one thing that I'm going to want the government to spend on, it's going to be actual roads and bridges.
And
you know what? All that trillions that they passed in the bipartisan, air quote, infrastructure bill, there's still unspent money in that. So they could use that money to get this project started. Like,
let's go.
You know, they keep saying, well, we're going to need Congress to do this. You know, actually, you don't. There is untapped money available, and then you could use that right now to start this. But, yeah, those people all freaking out. I mean, believe me, I hate the government too. But, if there's one thing that they're going to be needing to do, it's this.
If it's a major economic artery, it has to
be. Right.
It has to be.
I mean, the amount of trucks that go over that is – you'd be really surprised. Because it's really – the 95 goes north and south, of course.
Yeah.
But 95 turns into a tunnel at Baltimore, and you can't take, you know, super heavy trucks or hazardous materials or anything like that through the tunnel.
Yeah.
So when it comes to transporting things like gasoline
yep.
or oil or, you know, chemicals or
Let's
things
go
like
over that.
That
bridge, man.
Well, yeah, not anymore.
Yeah,
but
can't be like that movie with Sylvester Stallone. Was it Daylight?
Yeah. And, you know, this could have been much worse if this had happened during the day and there was a lot more traffic on that bridge.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, those construction workers died. But those construction workers were actually heroes.
Yeah.
Because they stopped the traffic when the Mayday call went out on the ship.
Yeah.
And they probably saved maybe a couple dozen lives.
Oh, for sure.
You know, unfortunately, they perished, but, like, it, you know, it could have been a lot worse depending on what time of the day it was. Because there's times when that bridge is just gridlock traffic, sitting on top of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, that's a terrible, terrible accident, you know. And then, you know, the conspiracy theories start coming out. And everybody knows I love a good conspiracy theory, but I just don't see it in this one. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think that the ship was in its normal route, lost power.
Which happens.
Which, yeah. I
all
mean,
the time.
Due to maintenance issues, which is another problem.
Yeah.
They made a called out, dropped the anchor, which is procedure.
Yeah.
And when they dropped the anchor, it dragged across the bottom and caused the boat to drift and turn into the pylon.
Yeah.
Now, there is a camera angle where people say, oh, look how it just turns directly into it. No, actually, that's an illusion.
Yeah.
Because if you look at... If you look at where the shot's being taken from,
yeah.
it's at an angle it to the bridge. It is at an angle
to the... It's on the right? bank. Yeah, in the embankment.
If
yeah.
you if you look at from above, it's actually a very slight degree turn that it yeah. made. And frankly, if they hadn't dropped the anchor, they probably would have coasted right through.
Yeah.
But the procedure in that case when you lose power is to drop the anchor to yeah. stop the ship.
Yeah.
Now, stopping a ship that weighs 200 million pounds or tons...
Yeah. Within that space, that yeah. corridor, impossible. Yeah. But it's what you do.
And also, you know, the supports for the bridge, because it was built in the 1970s, didn't have the protection that today's modern bridges that are built do around the concrete.
Yeah.
Because one, it wasn't standard back then. And two, what was standard back then was to protect against a much smaller ship. The ships were, you know, 20% of the size of what they are today.
Yeah.
I mean, those cargo ships are massive,
huge.
You know, the pictures don't do it justice. Yeah. So
it's a lot of tonnage coming your way.
You know, I know a lot of people are wrapped up in this conspiracy theory, and I love a conspiracy theory more than most, but this for me, this just isn't one of them.
Yeah.
You know, the pilot captain of the harbor was in charge of the ship. It wasn't actually the captain that's on the manifest.
Yeah.
And it was a whole Indian crew, and then someone's like, what if it was a cyber attack and to take the ship's power down and stuff like that? And I'm like, you know, maybe, but that would have to be really well-timed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and perfect to hit that specific target. Like, I just don't see it, but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? All right, the other major news story, also very bad.
Yeah.
In Moscow, a major terror attack over the weekend. Was this Friday or Saturday night?
I think it was Friday night.
Yeah, I think it was Friday night. Radical Islamic terrorists, you know, using their traditional playbook, invaded a concert hall, very reminiscent of the Bataclan in France, which was also a ISIS attack.
This
allegedly ISIS. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of conspiracies on this, too.
Well, people think it was the Jews. You see that one?
That's a very small one.
I'm
talking about the people that are saying that it was either some collaboration between the Ukraine or the United States.
Take your pick. You can pretty much
do Russia, Mad Libs on Russia it. Claims that Ukraine, the U.S. and U.K. Yeah. were involved.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows at this point, but I think very likely
it was ISIS.
Well, it's ISIS-K, right?
ISIS-K, yeah.
Which is, ISIS Khorasan, which is a portion of Afghanistan. And if we all remember, the Afghan terrorists still hate the Russians.
Yep.
I mean, that Russia and the United States, they hate us both.
Yeah.
Well, they hate all the West, but us particularly.
But they, they went in there. They killed over
140, which could have been worse.
Could have been worse. They also set off a bomb or a grenade, which caused it to caught fire.
Uh-huh.
And then, after torturing them and, beating them up.
Well, let's talk more about that because that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
So they catch these four guys.
Yeah.
Right? The four terrorists. And immediately start enhanced interrogating them.
Yeah.
AKA,
They fell down some steps, you know?
Yeah. Well, first they beat the shit out of them, but then they got to my favorite part, where they put some electrodes on the guy's balls and shocked the ever-living out of them. And then there was also a report, we don't know this for sure, but a report that they just clean chopped one guy's right off, which I particularly appreciate. And, one of the guys, that's the guy who had to be brought in a wheelchair and was unconscious to the court hearing. But, you know, that is a perfect example of how terrorists should be treated.
Yeah.
Not this, bullshit of us giving them basically the same rights as Americans.
Yeah.
That started with Obama, ended with Trump, but is now, of course, back with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and now also, I think maybe you wrote about this, Spencer.
Spencer, yeah. The elevated warning in France.
Yeah, so basically Paris, France, initiated their red alert, the highest level of alert, claiming that essentially a major attack could happen in France at any point. Clearly, their intel seems to think that something's coming. Yeah. You know, it's about to, I would think that if they were going to do something, it would be on the weekend.
Yeah.
And the weekend is coming up, yeah. So.
And even our State Department issued 2 weeks before the Moscow attack.
That in Russia, yeah.
To avoid large gatherings and especially concerts, so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's probably the basis for all the Russian conspiracy theories about how this was a CIA thing. But
well, you know, I don't blame Russia for trying to use this to, you know, gin up public support for the war against Ukraine and all that. Yeah, it's just classic Putin.
Yeah,
he did win 90% after all in the election.
totally legitimate.
Very election. Legitimate. Very the most legitimate election
ever.
Well, if Democrats had their way, that's how.
The oh, exactly. Okay, maybe 95%.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing that I wanted to hit on here, because this renews what we've been, I guess, talking about and warning about for months and months at this point, is it's only a matter of time until something like this happens here.
Oh, God.
Kurt just wrote his column about it, I think, on Monday. And it's true. I mean, we have shockingly not had a major terror attack here in the United States.
Yeah.
After all of the terrorists that we've let in through the southern border... I mean, for God's sake, they just caught a guy last week at the border who would literally said in his interview with Homeland Security, I came to the United States to make a bomb and kill people.
Yeah. Yeah.
This f-ing Muslim came into the country to kill, quote, the infidels. So it really is just a matter of time.
Let's also not forget the 100,000 unvetted Afghans that we just plopped here.
Oh, the refugees. The refugees. Yeah, yeah. Well, air quote refugees. Oh, yeah, never
So vetted. There's a massive pool of cells and saboteurs and terrorists that are probably plotting as we speak to attack us.
Well, and it's like I said, and Elon also says this all the time,
yeah.
And I'm glad he says this to get a lot of people to see it. We are seeding and creating and essentially giving them the assets they need for the next 9/11, which very may well be worse than 9/11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
9/11 only took what, 19, right?
19 hijackers? Terrorists? Yeah, 19 hijackers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have like probably a couple 100,000 terrorists in the United States. I mean, you remember when the war in the Middle East first started, these terrorist marches in the streets, you saw how many of them were.
Yep.
You saw how many of them chanting death to America, death to Israel. Yep. You know, it really is a modern miracle that we have not seen an attack yet. And I think that, you know, very well may be coming this election year to inflict maximum chaos. So, you know, don't think that that can happen here. Of course, always protect yourself. Buy guns, buy ammo. Best solution for what afflicts us. And if you're allowed to in your local jurisdiction, always carry. Mm-hmm. Always. So, let's talk about...
Especially since there's no f-ing cops anymore.
Well, yeah.
There's no police anymore,
you've been writing
man.
About
yeah,
that.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we had nowhere to be found.
In Baltimore, there are only 3 cops for this portion of the city where 61,000 people were living. And there are, you know, basically, you know, all alerts for overtime.
Yep.
Because there weren't enough cops around.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, didn't someone call in like a rape or something and they were like,
oh, yeah.
We can't get you for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was a child was being assaulted at a park.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, we're still on standby for, you know, assaults, you know, whatever the code is, the police code there in Baltimore. And no one can get to this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Pittsburgh, between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., you're on your own.
Yep. Well, this is the long-term effects of defund the police, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this back in 2020 when all this shit started going down. You know, and it's the same thing as a lot of these Democrat policies. You know, we say, yeah, this is going to happen. They do the policy and they're like, oh, look, it's just fine. And then all these years later, all this shit starts rearing its head.
Yep.
Just the other day, they were all celebrating the whatever anniversary, 13th anniversary or whatever of Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, the healthcare system is great. And I'm like, the f*** it is? Like, everything that we warned would happen as a result of Obamacare has happened. Higher premiums, high deductibles, high out-of-pocket, the elimination of premium Cadillac plans because of the taxes. I mean, you get on the list.
Yeah, if you're a union worker, you would have to feel pretty, like, furious about this.
Less choice, less coverage, higher costs and premiums is
what
happened.
Which, remember... And now their pivot is this is the gaslighting, you know. Well, more people are insured. That was never the selling point for Obamacare in 2009.
Well, it was part of it, but I don't give a
But it was reduced costs. Remember, it was going to save us $1.2 trillion over 10 years if we pass it now. And then if we don't, the healthcare costs are going to skyrocket.
Yeah. In fact, it costs like $3 trillion. So only a $4 trillion swing there.
And if you can find it, CNN actually, I can't believe this got by, but CNN had an article in 2017 or 2016 about how the middle class can't afford Obamacare anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, hey, listen, it's as Trump says, you know, you got to be hit by a Komatsu tractor to reap the benefits.
It legitimately is true. I mean it's ridiculous. You know, you have the same health insurance. You know, it's really just catastrophic coverage.
It really is.
It's like everything else, you're on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
And so with the Defund the Police movement, you're seeing the effects of that now.
Yeah.
With the shortage of police, the bail laws that they passed, letting career criminals out, including the scumbag animal in New York who murdered an NYPD officer this weekend, right? I believe it was this weekend.
Yeah.
Sunday, maybe?
The one with 21 priors?
Yes.
At a traffic stop?
Yep.
Yeah, he
yep.
had 21 priors.
Yeah. He murdered NYPD officer Jonathan Diller. First NYPD officer killed in 2 years. I was actually surprised to hear that, but... And this guy, who by all accounts was a hero cop, a great cop, multiple members of his family are police officers.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but when I was reading an article earlier, a lot of people refer to them as the real Blue Bloods.
Oh, really?
And obviously, his dad's not the police commissioner. That's the TV show. Yeah. But and yeah, this scumbag who had committed 20-plus crimes, let out of jail time after time because of Democrat policies, shot him in cold blood, murdered him in the street for, you know, no reason at all, essentially. And, you know, the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, who is a former police officer, right?
Yeah, he is.
He wasn't the commissioner, was he?
No.
He's just a police officer.
Yeah, he's a former cop.
Basically had nothing really good to say about it, and if he had any integrity whatsoever, would have resigned in disgrace, but he won't. And so now you have also President Trump, at the invite of the family, going to the wake, I think tomorrow, in New York City. You know, this is just this is what's going to keep happening, and then the cycle continues, and they are recruiting less cops because who wants to go do a job for shitty pay for a civilian population that essentially hates your guts, and you have no backing of the elected officials anymore. I mean, it's just, you're going to see just the continuation of the breakdown of, you know, civil society, essentially, because we can't have enough cops. And these animals, these criminals, have no regard for life whatsoever. And the Democrats continue to pass laws to encourage it.
Yeah.
It's just time and time again. You know, the Democrats in New York are really the ones with the blood on their hands for this great...
Oh, for the bail reforms.
Yeah.
It's really de Blasio that should be arrested for all this, but that's just me.
Well, de Blasio, you know, Cuomo, Hochul, Eric Adams. I mean, they're all responsible. Biden. I mean, they endorsed all this just because George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on. Yeah. Like...
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah, they asked for this.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's good that they invited President Trump, and he's going to go. You know, he said he's honored to be invited and will happily attend. And I think that's going to be a very interesting scene, because I'm sure the liberal media is going to say...
He's politicizing the event.
Right.
Yep.
But he was invited.
Yeah.
They invited him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they're Trump fans.
Yeah, they need to just take a seat. These types. They still got some Ron and McDaniel stuff to deal with.
Oh, shit. Don't get me started on that. I don't even want to talk about that.
I know. NBC News for making me defend Ron and McDaniel.
But... Well, no, I won't defend her. her and NBC, both of them. But you know, they're gonna scream he's politicizing it. But I think it's gonna show a great contrast to the country. Here you have one candidate, President Trump, who is for law and order and restoring order in this country. And I've heard that multiple times from people who lean potentially left that have told me, you know what, this time I'm going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And I don't really like him, but we have to restore order in this country.
Yeah.
We have to restore order to the streets with crime, to the border.
I think the personality obstacles that people had in 16 and 20 are – things have gotten so bad that they're willing to accept that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It means 100%.
Better economy, you know, public safety, and all that stuff.
The foreign policy?
Yeah.
All these f-ing wars going on all the time?
We had the Abraham Accords going.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows where we would be if this was a second term of Trump?
Well, Ukraine would have
probably would have expanded.
Ukraine never would have invaded Russia.
Nah, but
Hamas probably never would have had the resources to attack Israel. I mean, you could go down the list. And what I found really interesting, there's a clip of Marco Rubio. Let's play that clip.
Every single day we wake to a new crisis, to a new conflict. Everything has gone on fire since the time Joe Biden took over. Afghanistan's gone down. Ukraine has been invaded. Now the Philippines and the Chinese are on the verge of something bad happening every single day, not to mention the threats to Taiwan. We have this blow up in Haiti going on in our very own hemisphere. We wake up every single day, terrorist attacks, but 9 million people across the border.
You're not suggesting that's all happening because of Biden.
Absolutely, I am. I'm suggesting it happening because of Biden. He's president, and his weakness and his...
Just because of Biden that Russia invaded Ukraine?
Absolutely.
It's because of Biden that Haiti... Okay,
absolutely. Putin is sitting there saying, these guys can't even stand up to the Taliban, and they have to fly people hanging off the wings of these airplanes. Now's the time to go.
I love when Jonathan Carl on ABC was like, well, you're not saying that Joe Biden's responsible for all this, are you? And Marco Rubio's like, absolutely I'm saying that he is responsible for this. And Jonathan Carl just couldn't take it. And he was playing, you know, administration defenseman, of course. It's really just a tale of two realities, I feel like, in this country. You have the NBC and MSNBC types who can't dare to hear anything that's reality at this point. You remember during the Obama administration, how bad we thought that the press was at sucking his d- right? You remember that?
Yeah.
This is a whole new level. Yeah. This is just like blatant disregard for horrible reality.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, everything's great. The economy's fine. There's no crisis at the border. There's no problems overseas. Everything's phenomenal. Don't worry about it. We got it all under control. at least under Obama, things weren't half as bad as they are now.
No.
I mean, Obama was deporting people. There was at least some semblance of operational control at the border, right?
I mean, he would let the people they deported back in run away.
Sure.
But no.
Foreign affairs-wise, his stuff was terrible. You had the Iran deal and stuff like that. But as far as the wars, he was the one that was, like, surging troops into Afghanistan, which Biden opposed, of course.
He helped mightily with the deposing of Gaddafi.
Yeah, well, that's.
I mean, it was an air campaign.
That Northern Africa, it pretty did, bad. That did. Was Hillary.
It did.
But
Gaddafi was going to win that civil war if it didn't start bombing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know.
You have Obama's economy, which was better than Biden's economy.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you go down the list, and it's like, damn, we thought that Obama was bad. This is like, it's worse than Jimmy Carter at this point. It is the worst president of all time. At least if you ask Republicans, Democrats think he's the best of all time, which just shows you how far detached from reality they are. One last New York thing. So obviously Trump's battling Letitia James and her witch hunt against him for the crimes that actually didn't have
any victims.
He actually won at the New York Court of Appeals in reducing his bond from an outrageous $454 million to a still staggering $175 million.
It's more manageable, though.
Yeah, for sure more manageable. And he says he's going to pay it in cash.
What's the collateral? Cash.
Yeah, and then just turns around and walks away. I actually think that this is a good sign that the New York Court of Appeals might actually really drill down and shred this, Judge Engeron's court ruling that...
The albino?
That said that Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million.
It's really worth $300 million.
Well...
If you go back to GMA from like 2 months ago...
Well, no, that wasn't 2 months ago. I saw the clip that you're talking about. It was in 2017.
Oh.
Or 2016. Thanksgiving and Christmas 2016. They did a feature on Trump's home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Right? As president-elect. Yeah. Well, they said that it's the number one real estate property in all of Florida. And on that list at third was $300 million.
Yeah.
So it was estimated at that time to be worth $400 million.
Okay, so it's...
And now, it's probably worth that. Florida real estate has gone up about 40% since then.
So it's worth about $1 billion.
Well, let's not compare it away. I'd say a fair market value would be about $500 million.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they had a realtor president on when the ruling came down that also mentioned it was hundreds of millions.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
So it's just like...
it's just ridiculous. So...
But it's only worth 18.
It'll be very interesting. And actually, if you drill into that ruling by that ridiculous Judge Engoron,
yeah,
it went even way past a lot of these alleged bullshit crimes. And remember his hotel here in D.C.?
Yeah.
Well, remember how he bought it and then sold it and made a $175 million profit?
Mm.
Well, the judge found that, in his opinion, he should have never actually got the loan to buy it to begin with, which essentially makes all profits null and void through crime.
Yeah.
And that is part of the $175 million judgment against him. And not only that, all of the other family members who profited from it, such as Eric Trump, Trump yeah. Jr., Ivanka yeah. Trump, at $4 million apiece, are liable for that as well.
Yeah.
Then they also go after the former CFO, right, who got a $2 million severance package when he left the company. He invalidated that severance agreement, even though it had no relevance to this whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy...
Narcissist and psychopath.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's...
an albino piece of...
It's a scary insight to what the left would really like to do using extrajudicial power, essentially. Yeah. Like, there should be no power for this.
No.
In this case. It's not even a criminal case. Like, it's a civil case. That's the more outrageous thing to me. So, all right, what else we got here? Biden abandoning Israel at the United Nations.
Yeah,
You've been following that a little bit. You've been following the war, the ceasefire proposals, the Gaza Pier, which could be a floating death trap for the United States.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is going on over there with all that?
Well, basically, the Biden administration tried to insinuate that Netanyahu is creating drama for domestic political purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that's actually your guys' problem, because you have a whole bunch of Arab Americans who are pissed off about the war. It's not really about, you know, BB and his domestic problems. Everybody, listen, you know, and this was mentioned on Bill Maher over the week, last week, you know, yes, I guess you could probably find multiple polls that want that of Israelis who want BB gone, mm-hmm. but the policy of clearing out Gaza of terrorists is going to remain,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. So that's the one thing that I think the American media and the American left doesn't understand. But yeah, there was, you know, things are, basically nothing has changed other than the fact that the Biden administration is huffy about the Rafah operations plans. Remember, Kamala Harris said she studied the maps.
Studied the maps.
I studied the maps.
What maps?
The maps. You know, uh-huh. because, and she almost kind of, you know, people were taking that her remarks as like, is it Biden policy for Israel not to win the war?
Mm-hmm.
So, and
essentially
yeah, because yeah. you know, there's going to be a Muslim revolt here if that happens, and he can't afford to lose those people in 2024 with such a close election ahead of us.
Yep.
So, you know, Israel has always been open to a ceasefire if the hostages are released. They've agreed to a couple of bad little mini pauses. Remember, haven't they released like over 100 of these, you know, terrorists into the public, and they actually committed a terrorist attack last year, small scale, but it was at a Jerusalem bus stop. It was the people that they released, but you know, Hamas doesn't want to do that. So now there's this big hubbub over the Rafah operation, and you know, Netanyahu's going to go. He's going to do it. You know, he's going to go in there eventually. I mean, he offered to send a delegation to review the plans, but listen, I think that Biden just needs to accept that they're just going to wipe out Rafah and good riddance. to be honest with you.
I hope that BB kills every last one of them.
I agree. And we should and stop this floating peer thing. These people don't want our aid, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. They're all pissed off that it's not halal or whatever the And, you know, these are MREs. They don't like it. So are they really starving? I don't know. I don't know.
I say
I say them too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kidding me? I would have had a fleet of B-52s and we would have carpet bombed the out of Rafa right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's, they just got to kill them all, honestly. It's the only solution.
And people are going to die. Get over it.
Well.
I mean.
That's what happens.
I mean, I got over it on day one because I don't really give a
What happens elect a terrorist regime as your government?
Yep.
You know, so, everybody loves to gloss over the fact
that
Hamas won the elections. Okay, that's what happened. That's why they were the government in Gaza. And so to say that, you know, this is just some genocide is ridiculous.
No, it's just people die in war. It's what happens and get over it.
There was a clip the other day of
a
British TV show. And these two anchors were arguing, or two hosts were arguing. And the guy's like, you call it a genocide. That's totally ridiculous to say. Oh,
this is Douglas Murray?
I think that,
Oh, yeah, absolutely it's, slapping down Jane Dutton.
Is that who it was?
Because
she said it's a genocide, and he goes, okay, well, there's a war in Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Russia attacked Ukraine. Is what Ukraine doing a genocide? Defending itself? This is a war.
Yeah.
People die in war. That's what happens.
She also tried to say that Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th because of the illegal settlements in the West Bank. And he's like, that is not the case.
Yeah, no.
That is not true.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
And then she tried to say that Hamas has said multiple times that they want to live in peace with the Israelis.
No,
and he's like, no.
That's just no.
What is this? What show am I on?
That's ridiculous.
Basically, Murray's like, am I on the Twilight? Am I on a science fiction channel? Mm-hmm. Like, what the is this?
Yep.
So yeah.
Meanwhile,
but that is what most liberals think.
Oh, I know.
They think that a two-state solution is possible with one side that has consistently they tried. It failed. You know, Hamas has always said that they want to destroy Israel. That is like you can. I mean, innumerable times they said that. So kind of hard to negotiate when one side wants to kill you.
Everyone forgets. There was a ceasefire on October 6th.
Yep, who broke it?
And then on October 7th, they perpetrated the worst terror attack since 9/11.
Yeah.
Which, to put in perspective, you know, for Israeli population-wise,
it would have been
the equivalent of terrorists dropping into the United States and brutally murdering, raping, slaughtering almost 60,000 Americans.
Yeah,
60,000.
You think we're not going to do anything about that?
we leveled half the Middle East
over
3,000 Americans dying, rightfully so.
Yeah.
They deserved it.
Yep.
But to say, and then not only that, they share a land border.
Yeah.
If Canada did that to us, you think we're not going to just wipe out all of Canada?
Yeah.
You know, just for example.
Meanwhile, it wasn't even occupied. They had a work permit program going. Palestinians could enter Israel for their health care at will. So I don't, you know, there's a lot of myths and.
Well, I think what they do have to figure out, Israel, is how they're going to actually handle this situation here with Rafah, because.
Well, they got to talk to the Egyptians.
Right.
Because it's threatening Egyptian-Israeli relations, which have been, they've been at peace since the Yom Kippur War. So.
Well, here's the thing.
Following.
Nobody wants these terrorists.
No, right? That's why Rafah's been closed for years to Egypt.
Well, not only that, but no other
Arab
country wants them. And there's good reasons, because these people are terrorists.
Well, they breed.
They know it.
They breed instability and terrorism.
Right. If they were just innocent young people, they would take the refugees, but they're not.
No, they're not.
But so what Israel has to figure out is, you know, as much as I'd love for them to just carpet bomb the whole thing to the ground, and then we build a nice Trump casino and resort on the beautiful
Welcome
beaches.
Welcome to
there.
Trump Gaza. Yeah. On this spot, we killed so many terrorists, and now I'm making money off their bones.
It'd be great, but you know, as much as I'd love to see them just kill everybody, it's probably not going to fly.
It's probably not
going to fly. As much as I'd love it, not going to happen.
Maybe we'll just use a little gas.
Yeah, well, they should just, you know, a little tactical nuke. Never hurt anybody.
I would daisy cutter the out of that place. place.
The problem is, yeah, I don't think that they're going to go that extreme.
No, they
can't. But they do have to figure out what to do with these people and just get rid of them.
How about we just send them back to Lebanon? Oh, wait, they tried that. It didn't work out too well.
Well, yeah.
it cost them so long.
So I don't know what they're going to do about that. It's a little bit of a conundrum that they've got going there to figure out.
I mean, I love that. Dude, it's a great segue. I mean, I know we're going off tangent here, but like in Jordan, like they tried to kill the king.
I know.
They tried to kill the king in the 70s.
Yeah.
Just like
these people are terrible. Yeah. They're terrorists.
And then when they failed and the late King Hussein, you know, was like, okay, you know what? Now I got to get heavy. And he forced them into Lebanon. They caused Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can, I don't know, send them to the Isle of Man.
Well, No,
kidding. The Brits would obviously never agree to that. But, like, something...
Nobody wants these terrorists. That's the problem.
Drop them off in the Caspian Sea.
Saudi Arabia doesn't want them. Nobody wants them. So...
Dude, Saudi Arabia's headed up to here with them.
Yeah.
I think the Crown Prince kind of, like, he kind of, before and during the Trump years, he kind of, he was beating around the bush, but he was basically saying, Israel is here to stay, and you people need to, like, just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he killed the journalist? Khashoggi?
Yeah, chopped him up.
Allegedly chopped him up. There's video footage of a guy leaving the consulate.
He chopped him up, and I'm glad he did. Good for him.
That's a conspiracy right there. Remember, he's like, look, there's the body. He's leaving.
What kind of retard knows that a country wants to kill you, and then you willingly walk into their sovereign soil in the embassy? I mean, you deserve to die at that point. Yeah, I'm sorry, okay? Yeah. And then all the bullshit. Well, he was a reporter. He wasn't a reporter. He was an opinion columnist who wrote very regular anti-Semitic, pro-jihad columns in the Washington Post. Yeah. So rest in hell. Yeah.
He just didn't like the royal family. That's all.
Yep. It's going to be very interesting to see. What I was going to say is when hopefully Trump comes back into office, how things resolve in the Middle East. Because obviously before... he had peace in the Middle East through his negotiations and diplomacy. But now that might be hard to piece back together for sure.
Yeah.
Although I could very well see him bringing, you know, Israel to the table, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, all of them be like, okay.
Abraham part two.
Yeah. Let's just all reset. Yeah. Forget everything that just happened. Yeah. And we're going to get these people out of here. We're going to let Israel take the land, and everyone could just go back to chilling. Yeah. How about that? That's what I would do. But we'll see.
Or it could be, I can be like, you mentioned what you're going to do with these people. I can see Trump. Well, why can't you just make some camps in the Sinai? Some nice concentration camps? Is that what we call them now? or is that not right?
And we'll see also what happens in the Pacific. I think there's going to be some significant moves going on there. China, God. I think, is really ramping up. Well, I'll tell you, China's backed into a corner because their economy's collapsing.
Yeah.
So if they're going to do this,
this is it.
Because, one, their economy's collapsing. Two, they're running out of time politically with the direction that the United States is going. And if Trump comes back into office, they're going to be scared was to do it. So, you know, it's pretty much now or never kind of situation for them. So, what else is going on? Oh, Serbia also is destabilizing, apparently. That's good. As is, what's that whole country next to Ukraine? Moldova.
Moldova?
Yeah, because Moldova is going to apparently vote to join
Russia,
the European Union.
Oh, no.
And then. But there is a separatist region of Moldova known as the Transnistria, whoever came up with that name.
Sounds like a Euro rock band.
Exactly. I was just about to say, it's like all those gobbledygook Eastern European countries that they just throw out names. They want to side with Russia, and they're in between Moldova and Ukraine, sandwiched between, and Russia has been saying that they're going to give them military support, potentially against the government of Moldova, who's trying to join the European Union. So
things are great.
Yeah, it could escalate to a more regional war there. And, you know, listen, everyone's like, oh, you know, Putin's so evil. These people are urging this on. Like, they know that this is going to be the result. You know, it's the equivalent of kicking a wasp's nest. Right?
Yeah.
You can kick the wasp's nest, but you know
you're going to get the
are going to come out and sting you, right? It's literally the same equivalent. And it was the same equivalent of Ukraine trying to join the EU and NATO.
Yeah.
Like, they kicked that wasp nest, that hornet's nest. And so when the consequences happen, you can't then cry and say, oh, my God, how could he do this? Like, it's just the consequences of what happens. This is the reality of our situation. So back here at home, some border and illegal stuff. So an illegal alien mob overran the Texas National Guard at the border. I'm sure all of you by now have seen that video. It happened last week, I think a week ago from today. Of course, Joe Biden and Mayorkas and Kamala Harris continue to insist that there's nothing wrong at the border. It's super duper secure, but it's an invasion, and that's, you know, it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. Because what I really am concerned with, just looking to the future, is now that, you know, we're getting to a general election season, and, you know, it looks more and more by the day that Trump's looking pretty strong, and he certainly has a good chance to make it back to the White House. What do you think's going to happen this summer when all those illegals are like, oh, this is our last chance. We got to make a run for it. And they all run across the border. You know, it's going to get worse than it is right now. And right now, we're, what, letting in on pace, I think, for 3 or 4 million illegals this year, which will be soon to be, I think, 17 to 20 million under Joe Biden, which is more than the population of, I think, 38 states now. So it's good. Also, we talked about last week the Supreme Court ruling on the Texas law, right, which makes illegal immigration a state crime and all that.
Back to the appeals court. Appeals court struck it down, so it's not even – it goes back and forth, back and forth.
We're now still, I guess, waiting.
Yeah, because they're hearing an abortion pill case right now.
Well, no, but now the stay is in effect.
Oh, God.
Which means that the Circuit Court of Appeals still has to hear the merits of the case. They have to rule on it, and then it can go to SCOTUS based on either merits or ruling on an injunction. But SCOTUS already ruled against the first injunction. So who knows what's going to happen there. I mean, and to be realistic, it wasn't going to make that big of a difference. Like, it was just going to give Texas a little more power here. But at the end of the day,
we need a new president. That's what it needs.
Of course.
That's what it needs.
Of course. The state only has so much resources to put towards this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the federal government. A state can't just print money.
No.
Exactly. They don't have that power.
Minutemen, we need you.
Yeah.
Minutemen, get back out there.
More illegal immigrant crime. An illegal alien charged with killing a 25-year-old Michigan woman. Gunshot wounds on a highway. Just killed in cold blood by a Mexican national in the United States illegally. To make matters worse, guess what? This illegal was deported by President Trump.
Oh.
Then came back.
Came back.
Under Joe Biden.
What about do you have the illegal who raped a mentally disabled woman? Pablo Mendoza?
No.
Yes.
I didn't read about that.
I have to get into the details, but yes, now even our most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Are being attacked by these horrific illegals.
We also have the North Carolina illegal alien who is arrested on suspicion of terrorism, and ICE refuses to release details on it, so it's got to be really bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like I said, matter of time, matter of time.
We need these disclosures. Someone needs to sue ICE to disclose all this
stuff. Well, they'll just stonewall. I mean, that's what these federal agencies are doing, because they don't want any sort of transparency on what they're doing to destroy the country. Speaking of Democrats destroying the country, you wrote this one. I know this was
last
your story.
Night,
About the Illinois Parole Board. Why don't you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, the Illinois Parole Board is in a public relations nightmare because they released a violent offender. They granted his petition for release, and then he murdered an 11-year-old less than 24 hours afterward. He ambushed the kid and his mom.
Yep.
The mom had asked for an order of protection in February. He was released on March 13th, committed this murder, and now the president of the Illinois Prison Review Board has resigned along with another member. And frankly, everyone should go.
Yeah.
Everyone should go.
Yeah.
And now they're claiming, well, you know, we didn't hear about the petition and everything. Actually, the Department of Corrections for Illinois has – the paperwork on file. So what the f*** happened there?
Yep.
This is what happens. Sometimes bad people shouldn't get let out. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, that's Democrat policy. It is what it is. Yeah. That's what they want to do. They want to flood the country with illegals, with crime, and destroy it from within. I mean, that's literally what the plan is at this point. There's no doubting that this is all intentional. You can't just say, give them the benefit of the doubt. It's none of that anymore. It's just one big evil plan to destroy the country from within.
For sure.
Which, by the way, if we don't get a law passed that will ban illegals from being counted in the 2030 census, it's estimated that the Democrats will pick up an additional 14 House seats just based on the illegals in these blue states, which also translates to electoral votes, of course.
Yep. Gotta stop it.
There was a really good video that Elon posted about how this is really the Democrats' plan to transition America to one-party rule.
Yeah.
By flooding it with illegals. And they don't even need to necessarily amnesty these people because these illegals are all going to come over. They're going to have children who are going to have birthright citizenship. They're going to get counted in the census anyway. That's it. It's game over.
It's the long game.
We have to get that law passed. Like, that has to be a priority.
That law has to be passed. The wall has to be built.
Sure.
We got to get the crocodiles in the Rio Grande. Drones in the air.
Also, the Democrats, of course, are still on the fight to take away our Second Amendment rights. First, a shout out to Glenn Youngkin here in Virginia for vetoing 30 anti-gun bills yesterday here in Virginia, keeping me not a felon as of yet. So shout out to him. Love you, Glenn. But, you know, just in the hours after Congress passed their spending bill on Friday night, by the way, which we need to talk about. It gets my blood pressure up so much. You know, they go right up to the deadline. They jam their bullshit in the trillions and trillions bills. They all pass it, and then they just leave town.
Yeah.
That's what they do every single time. And guess what? This time, Mike Johnson us in the ass. Dry. Because guess what? He promised not to ever bring a bill to the House floor that didn't have a majority support of the caucus.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
It didn't have the majority support of the caucus.
More than half of Republicans voted against it. But the cuck, less than half, 40% of the caucus that voted with Democrats, passed the spending bill. And I think half of the caucus, or less than half of Republicans in the Senate, also did. So here you have these Republicans once again teaming up with Democrats. And while we control the floor of the House of Representatives, yet again, we don't have the balls to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And we pass a horrible, horrible spending bill that includes essentially funding for the DOJ to launch a, quote, federal red flag center to take firearms away from people who pose a threat to themselves or others.
Oh.
The National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide, quote, training and technical assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorney, judges, clinic, all this bull, you know, social justice, behavioral health professionals, blah, 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 to keep guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We all know where this goes.
Yep.
It's
they're gonna take them.
Because guess what? If they were truly interested in using the existing laws to keep guns out of the hands of crazy people, they would have stopped people like the psycho that shot up Parkland High School.
Yeah.
Or Marjorie Stoneman Douglas played in Parkland.
Yeah.
You know, so many red flags on that guy. Laws in place already to stop him. They didn't use them properly.
Nope.
All in the name of essentially wokeism or not stigmatizing people.
Yeah. And just plain old incompetence.
Well, yeah, that too.
I mean, state, local, and federal.
I mean, and there's been countless times where, you know, things weren't properly reported and didn't make it onto the background check.
Yep.
And, you know, this is...
Known to law enforcement.
Red flags.
That was another one. Known to law enforcement.
Red flags is essentially a backdoor to the government being able to take guns away from people without warrants whenever they feel like it.
He said something he said something weird at a grocery store. Stuff.
Yeah. Oh, Storm said on his podcast that the government sucks and ought to be... replaced. Oh, red flag.
Yep.
And, you know, we're not too far away from that. Wouldn't be surprised if that got flagged by the NSA right there. what else we got here? We're going to skip over that. I don't feel like talking about that. Yeah, Congress is a mess. We all know about it. Quick shout out that piece of Mike Gallagher up in Wisconsin, who announced on Friday that he will be resigning from Congress
next month.
Next month.
Yeah.
Because when he leaves, the date that he specifically selected is after the deadline for a special election, which of course is going to leave Republicans significantly hamstrung without a member of Congress for that seat until the election is held in November. Because, yeah, just what we need is one less member in our already majority up on Capitol Hill. A real piece of shit. I'm sure he's going to go get his job at Raytheon after he voted for that, you know, $2 trillion omnibus that just passed. You know, real piece of shit up there. His voting record is horrific.
Yeah.
It's just like, and it's a Trump, like, plus 22 district, too, by the way.
That's probably why he's leaving.
Well, that's not only why he's leaving. He picked that date.
I'm just kidding.
Because he doesn't want an actual conservative to fill that seat for the rest of the term.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting. And it's the same thing with, like, Ken Buck. I mean, these people just have no spine. We got to get these, you know, I'm glad they're leaving. But, like, we got to get these people out of our party, man. It's just
out of control. I don't want a tit for tat Ken Buck.
Oh, with the Mayorkas
With the Mayorkas thing and also with the Biden impeachment thing. Uh-huh, it's like, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike Gallagher, too, voted for the Jan 6 commission.
Yeah, DHS didn't file the paperwork, which led to 200,000 deportation orders being scuttled.
On purpose, I'm sure.
So, really? Like, there's no grounds to impeach Mayorkas when there's 200,000 people shouldn't be here? Like, what the hell?
All right, we're going to wrap up today's show here.
Before
I have a coronary.
I said that's the positive. I'm just being facetious. Positive note. We're ending this podcast.
We got Joe Biden's gaffes
here
for you. This one was in his comments after the collapse of the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Take a listen to what he had to say, and then we're going to point out something very peculiar about it.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
He has memories of traveling over the bridge by train and by car.
Yeah.
Well, by car, certainly.
Certainly.
But by train, no, because no train ever goes over that. Well, never used to go over that bridge. No.
It's almost like when he wanted to have a railroad to connect the Pacific and Indian Oceans.
Yeah, yeah, we got that one here. Nice little throwback here for you. Roll that one.
Moving ourselves into having railway to go all the way across the southern two-thirds from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean in Africa.
Can't you just sleep well at night knowing that that's the man in control of our country's security and safety?
Yeah. He doesn't even remember when his son died.
Well, yeah. That's the least of my problems. all right. We're going to wrap up for today. Of course, if you have any comments, email us triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. If you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, and I'm sure Mr. Producer has done a lot of work on today's episode because it's quite feisty, but I promise you will love it uncensored if you get it. Everybody who becomes a VIP member and listens to Triggered Uncensored absolutely loves it. So become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code SAVEAMERICA for 50% off your membership. Get into this exclusive club of patriots. You already know the spiel. You'll get so much extra. I promise you'll love it. Money back guarantee. Nobody gets that besides Triggered listeners, and nobody has ever asked for that money back. So thank you to all of you who support us directly by being VIP members. You not only make what we do here on Triggered possible, but what we do on everything on all of our sites, townhall.com, Red State, PJ, all of the journalism exposing the evils of the left trying to destroy this country. So thank you for all of our listeners. We love you. It means the world to us. And don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. We hope you have a great weekend coming up, a happy Easter, a blessed Easter.
He is risen.
Have you heard the news?
Yes.
One of my favorite clips of The Sopranos. We, of course, will be back here next Wednesday for another episode of Truth.
See you then.